Okay, we are, well, first we need to pray before we do anything. So now that the church service has officially begun, we're going to go over a few minutes because we're at 106 on my computer. So please kneel if you can, bow your hearts. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for blessing us the way you have this last 2 weeks with all these issues and problems that we've been having. And the peace that I have in my heart and all of us have in our hearts, knowing that you're allowing it for whatever reason. And it's good. We're good with that, you know, because we need to grow. We need to get to a point where we can handle all sorts of stuff so that when that latter rain starts falling, we're going to be worthy of it and we can go through the plagues and those trials with smiles. And so thank you, Father, for hearing our prayers and blessing us. Please keep those that are working at TWN alert and let them do what they need to do to bless us with the bandwidth we're going to need to get through the church service. And if they can fix it this week, that'd be great too. As well as when we switch companies, that it is done quickly and that we can actually continue on doing the work from there on. Please bless everyone on our prayer list as we always do. Constantly pray for them. There's physical and spiritual needs across the board there, Father. And please bridle my tongue and any tongue that speaks today so that you and you alone are glorified. And next week when we do testimony service, let it be that we have a stable connection. Because we cannot pass a mic around on a stream. We can pass the mic around in this chat room, though. And we need to have 10, or at least 5 up and down for the chat room. And so thank you, Father, for hearing our prayers and blessing us and everyone in attendance on the radio, on the phone, on the stream, and here in the room with your presence. And we offer this prayer to you in the name of your precious Son, our Savior and Lord, Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, amen and amen and amen. All right, we're still in the sanctuary service or the sanctuary study, as you're all aware of. Let me just see how the stream ended. Yeah, the upload's down again, so keep praying, whoever's those prayer warriors out there. We're at 46 of the stream. I'm not really worried about the stream because, like I said, it's the servers, YouTube servers. But here in the room, we're only at 52, so. Yeah, but we're at 7 up, so 7's plenty. We only need 5 up. All right, so as we are still standing before the altar of incense in our study of the sanctuary, and for those of you wondering why we go so deeply into certain areas of the sanctuary like I've been doing, Psalm 77:13 says this, and thank you in advance, Brother Sean, and Brother Warren, for all that you guys are doing on the stream and here in the room. But Psalm 77:13 says, "Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great? A God is our God." And so we, as the remnant of her seed, or as the original spirit of prophecy declared long ago, we are the remnant of the church. Yes, the SDA leaders keep saying they are the remnant church, but you only find those claims in their edited books. And we got a little bit of a push going forward on this. Many people in the church family are very interested in doing what it was prophesied the remnant people would do, and that would make sure that the original writings would go forth, because the SDA church is putting out the edited writings while we're putting out the original ones, and it's really causing an exodus to the church again. But see Spirit of Prophecy, Volume 1, page 10 and 11, and when you get time, and you'll see how they lied about being the remnant church. It clearly says there is a remnant of the church. So, but getting back to the topic at hand, prayer is very important in the same way talking with those we love each day is very important. I mean, seriously, ever think about that? How would you feel if someone you loved very deeply that actually lived with you in the same house yet, but they made it a point never to say one word to you for days on end? Would you not feel a little bit unloved? Well, as Christians, we are in the Lord's presence daily, knowing His Holy Spirit is within our body, or temple, as He calls it. And so we must pray unto Him daily so as to not only bring a smile to our lives, which also makes our faith grow, it brings a smile to our Father's face as He cherishes that time He spends with us. you know, when we pray, because in so doing knows we do have faith that he hears us, and that makes him very happy. Because none of us are all about talking to ourselves, right? You know, because even though people think that, like, you know, especially when I used to drive many years ago, my wife did this too, and I would imagine every Christian has done this before. They had car phones, speaker car phones. I mean, I used to have the bag phone that I would pick up, and you know, then you could tell someone's on the phone, you're holding it. But nowadays, everybody's got speaker phones, so you could be all by yourself driving down the road in a car, and you're talking. But back in the, you know, 70s, 80s, and 90s, they think, well, look at the guy talking to himself. But today, they just figure, oh, they must be on the phone. And so let them think that. I'm praying all the way down the road, not on the phone at all, you know, so it's awesome. But it makes them happy. And so this Sabbath, we're going to touch on how being in the last days, all the pastors in the One World Church, which started last month on the 4th, it was February 4th, yeah. And I'm not surprised that none of the churches, including the SDA Church, said anything about it, because they are sending SDA tithes to the One World Church. And we proved that in a couple of videos ago. Letters and all, got the actual letters from the SDA Church and the National and World Council of the Churches, where all of it's in writing. And so, you know, people want to call that a lie. Well, and then, you know, that's because the truth has become a lie to them. Seriously, lies are their comfort zone. And so, but all the pastors in the One World Church echo Vatican lies that are designed to get the people in the church to trust the men on the pulpit instead of the God above, so as to cripple their prayers, which will also cripple their faith in their Heavenly Father, which then leaves them no choice but to place their faith in their earthly pastors, because they know deep inside they have no real faith in God, so they've got no choice. That's where they go. You know, it's a vicious satanic circle of deception that has worked well for Satan the last 6,000 years, and especially the last 2,000 years, because you have to know, Jesus promised to send us the Comforter into the heart, each and every heart that loves him. And that Comforter is the Holy Spirit. And Satan fears that blessing we have with a passion. And so he will most assuredly focus on us in ways that he hopes will weaken our faith so as to conquer us. You know, this is why the Church of Christ over the centuries has not seen the blessings or even the miracles the apostles saw when the Holy Spirit came upon them in the early reign, you know, on Pentecost. But Satan knows the latter rain is about to fall more abundantly. And so he will do all he can to make sure as few Christians as possible are ready to receive it. You know, this actually reminds me of what Jeremiah spoke of in his book long ago. It's found in Jeremiah 35. Now bear with me a little while on this, because I believe it's wise to share this truth for those that may think obeying mankind is important. And yes, they do this by grasping the man-made creeds that all the churches place above the Bible and even demand obedience onto. In fact, we talked about this the last Sabbath that we gathered after the sermon in our fellowship hour online, which I've been allowing to go as part of the stream, on, you know, studying on the with the stream and all that. Here, let me just make sure that this here is off. Okay. That way you don't get an echo. But you know, the man-made creeds are, so many people, billions in fact, place the creed above the Bible. And Jeremiah 35 says this, Jeremiah 35 verses 1 and 2. All right, Jeremiah 35, 1 and 2, it says, "The word which came unto Jeremiah from the Lord in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, saying, Go unto the house of the Rechabites, and speak unto them, and bring them into the house of the Lord, into one of the chambers, and give them wine to drink." Now, don't go running off to the nearest liquor store thinking our God is saying it's okay to drink fermented wine here any more than it was okay for Adam, you know, or rather Abraham to kill Isaac when the Lord asked him to. It's a test. Nothing more, nothing less. It's a test here. So the basic reality here is we know the Lord told the prophet Daniel later on in Scripture to never drink fermented wine, right? And I say fermented because the word wine has two definitions in the Bible, just like bread has, I think, four. New wine, which we call grape juice today, is clearly seen defined as such in Isaiah 65:8. That said, Isaiah 65:8, "Thus saith the Lord, as the new wine is found in the cluster. Doesn't say liquor store, okay? And so the wine we know today is in fact fermented, or old wine, as Jesus called it in Matthew 9:17, when he explained that neither do men put new wine into old bottles, else the bottles break and the wine runneth out and the bottles perish, but they put new wine into new bottles and both are preserved. Now, back then, wine bottles, and bottle is just a name, doesn't necessarily mean glass. It could be made out of wood. It could be made out of, well, as you hear, an animal stomach, because that's what they called bottles back then. So when you put new wine in them, if you didn't drink it right away that day, and especially if it's hot outside, the juice would naturally ferment. And in so doing, it releases a gas that expands that tightly sealed bottle, as they called it. Yeah, it's a stomach, so there's no seams. And so once the skin of the bottle is stretched out to the point of as far as it'll go, you don't put new wine in it anymore because it's going to burst if you do so, unless, of course, you put some kind of a vent on it or something. But then that ruins it too. You know, ask any person that, any drunkard, rather, that is a connoisseur of fine wine, let's say. They always make sure, they do everything they can to make sure air gets out of the bottle. I watched this on Shark Tank where there's these guys that they're selling these items that can, after you take a drink out of a bottle of wine, it seals the bottle as if it was never opened. That's what they're going for, because to keep the air out is to prevent the wine from getting bitter or whatever the case. I don't know. I never liked wine even when I was a drinker. So anyway, getting back. When it came to the wine being mentioned here, the Lord was testing these people in Jeremiah to see if they would obey him over their forefathers, and you will see why in a moment. He knew they would react to such an invitation to imbibe or drink by Jeremiah in a certain way, and so he used it to test their loyalty to him, the Father in heaven. It goes on to say in Jeremiah 35, verses 6 to 11, so 35, verses 6 to 11. It says this. Let me scroll up a little bit. It says, but they said, after Jeremiah said, drink some wine, they said, we will drink no wine, for Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, commanded us, saying, ye shall drink no wine, neither ye nor your sons forever. Neither shall ye build house. Neither shall you build houses maybe, nor sow seed, nor plant vineyard, nor have any. But all your days you shall dwell in tents, that ye may live many days in the land where ye are strangers. Thus have we obeyed the voice of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, in all that he hath charged us, to drink no wine all our days, we, our wives, our sons, nor our daughters, nor to build houses for us to dwell in. Neither have we vineyard, nor field, nor seed. But we have dwelt in tents, and have obeyed and done according to all that Jonadab our father commanded us. But it came to pass when Nebuchadrezzar, king of Babylon, because there's two different ways of spelling his name in the word, king of Babylon came upon the land, that we said, come and let us go to Jerusalem for fear of the army of the Chaldeans, and for fear of the army of the Syrians, so we dwell at Jerusalem. And so that's, they're explaining away, the reasons they are where they are. So as we see here, they boldly declared they will obey their forefathers over and above what the prophet of the Lord said was commanding them to do, and they knew he was a prophet. Everybody knew Jeremiah was a prophet, even the ones that said he wasn't a prophet. They knew he was a prophet. So it goes on to say this in verses 12 to 14 in the same chapter. 12 to 14. Then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, go and tell the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, we will not receive instruction to hearken to my words, or will ye not receive instruction to hearken to my words, saith the Lord. The words of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, that ye have commanded his sons not to drink wine, are performed, for unto this day they drink none, but obey their father's commandment. Notwithstanding, I have spoken unto you, rising early and speaking, but ye hearken not unto me. Now look around. Today, all the churches teach Sunday Sabbath, eternal life. eternal life in hellfire, 7-year tribulation, the Roman Catholic Trinity, 1,000 years of peace on earth, and so on and so forth. I'm not going to get into all of it, right? They also teach it's okay to eat unclean foods, regardless of the overwhelming scientific and historical proof, because they even dug up Pharaoh's grave and found out why he was dying, and the people back then were dying because of the diet of Americans today, right? And so they got historical proof it's killing people with all sorts of disease. They also teach it's okay to drink alcohol, even though it has been proven to destroy the body, organ by organ, as well as families and the lives of innocent people when the drunk driver crosses the double yellow, you know, at high speed. And they declare it's okay to smoke tobacco, even though it was proven to be killing people in a court of law, and they even admitted in that courtroom it was laced with addictive properties to keep the people smoking it. Or what of how the Vatican promoted Harry Potter as a Christ-like character in October of 2010? They literally called him a Christ-like character. The guy's a witch, right? But he's a Christ-like character, according to Rome. Well, they're pagans, so that's the norm for them. And so, and plus the Bible clearly says witchcraft is so evil that in Exodus 22:18 it says, "Thou shalt not suffer a witch to live." And no, I'm not saying go out there and kill witches. The Lord's going to take care of that in plague number 7, or the second death if they're already dead. I mean, after all, is it not written in Romans 12:19 that vengeance is mine? I will repay, saith the Lord. So, yeah, I can go on and on, of course, but methinks you get my point here. The Lord tested the people in Jeremiah's day to see who they would obey, their forefathers or their God, the traditions and doctrines of men, as well as the man-made creeds of the churches, are to be turned from if they go against the written word of the Lord. These creeds that move people to trust their forefathers above the Lord have been so destructive that we now have over 44,000 different so-called Christian denominations out there. I mean, that's no mistake. Satan purposely focuses on Christianity because it's a major threat to him, and people don't catch that. That's amazing. I mean, check it out. You've got 2 or 3 sects of the Muslim, right? 1 or 2 of the Buddhist, and only 1 of the atheist. In fact, there's only 1 Church of Satan as well, because he has them horn, chain, and anchor under his thumb. So he needs not generate a schism there or any of these other places. But Christianity, with its foundation in truth, needs to be constantly attacked and retwisted, because even while sitting in apostasy, some people obviously still find Jesus and leave the fallen churches. And that is why when the child of God discovers they're in an apostate church, Revelation 18:4 comes to heart and mind, thanks to the Comforter hugging them from within, and he moves them out, because it is plainly declared in that verse that the Lord said, "Come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, and you receive not of her plagues." And being in the last days as we are, it's amazing how some people ignore that fact that, you know, the plagues are very close in coming. I mean, he loves them, and he doesn't want them to suffer and die. And so to get back to the sons of Jonadab, who refused to obey the Lord over and above their own forefathers, it did not go well with them any more than it has been going well for the lukewarm Christian church the last 2,000 years, that do as mankind teaches them to do instead of simply trusting the Lord and what he specifically states in his word. That is why, and here's my point, most people have no prayer life. They can't stand in the sanctuary by the altar of incense. They have no clue it's even there. They never see the Lord's hand move upon them when they pray throughout their lives, and when the doctor tells them a loved one is dying and all they can do is pray, they collapse in tears, knowing prayers have never worked for them in the past because they trusted their forefathers and their corrupted creeds all their lives. And so they're figuring it's not going to help now. The prophecies of our day are very clear. Within this evil and adulterous generation of end-time people, our God still has an obedient people out there that know all about getting back into his word, back into prayer, and back into submitting to him above and beyond those that claim to pastor over them, no matter how well they fabricate their traditions or their creeds. It's amazing. I've even heard some people, some pastors actually say, the student never goes above the pastor. Well, I have a tendency to say that's wrong, because the Bible is clear. The student supersedes the pastor eventually. You know? And some of you that have come to the pulpit in the SDR church have said things that amazed me and has become part of my message as well, because you had light in that area where I didn't. because none of us can see. This is one of the reasons the Lord describes the church as a body. Some of you see things that somebody else doesn't see, and vice versa. Not all of us are going to get it cover to cover for all eternity. In fact, that's why doctors of divinity are so laughable. I mean, if you're a doctor of divinity and you know the scripture from head to toe and, you know, front to back, why aren't you walking on water? Why aren't you raising the dead, healing the sick, and preaching onto the masses and having tens of thousands join into the church with every sermon you speak? It's because you're not a doctor of divinity. It's a pride thing with them. Primitive godliness is something the Gideon band understands. And this is why those of us that seek to be part of that number, that is soon to be bathed in the latter rain, do all we can to get back to worshiping the God of the Bible in the same way his patriarchs and prophets of old did for literally eons. Six of them, in fact. And so remember, the prayers of all saints are always recorded and heard from the altar of incense that is always before the throne of our God in heaven. His obedient children are never forgotten or definitely never ignored by the Father that loves them. He's not a tyrant, as the world says. And sadly, some people's prayers are actually ignored, even though they claim to be Christians, because they have hatred towards the Father's obedient children when we try to help them see the error of their way. For when speaking of these hateful souls, it is written in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 15. Now, you got to hear this, because I've shared this verse many times with Roman Catholics. They don't seem to understand how they're guilty by association of blood being spilled. It says in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 15, because if you're a Roman Catholic and you're in a church, if you're in a Roman Catholic church, that church has killed hundreds of millions of people. So you're guilty by association. Isaiah 1:15 says that when ye spread forth your hands, notice again, there ain't no closed hands there, right? Ever notice how the Catholic Church chose the pictures of people praying with their hands closed? No, you lift holy hands to heaven, it says in the Word. You open your palms up and point them upwards. Not like the Pentecostals that point them towards the stage. No, they're worshiping the guy on the stage. Raise them up. Worship he that made who's standing on the stage, right? So, let me finish this verse. It says, Isaiah 1:15 says, when ye spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when ye make many prayers. That's again talking about the pagan with the repetitive prayer like the rosary. And when ye make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. And so if the Protestant comes up and hates you for the truth you present, they are committing murder in their heart, so they're guilty of blood. And then the Catholic, of course, is guilty by association, because all those, case in point here with the Catholics, there isn't a Catholic alive today that wasn't born into the church because of the weak faith of their forefathers. And what do I mean by that? The Inquisitions. The people that stayed in the Roman Catholic Church were the ones that were afraid of being burnt at the stake, buried alive, cut in half, drawn asunder, sawed in half slowly, whatever, or even cooked or put in a brazen bowl. And so the ones that were in the Catholic Church after 1798, let's say, when the Inquisitions were more or less just kind of like really, really gone because of Napoleon sending in Berthier and the Pope dying in exile the next November, exactly, 1,260 years after the prophecy stated he would. And so these people are descendants of people that had absolutely no faith in God to protect them in the fire, like Huss, who sang hymns while he was burning alive. They had no faith. And that is the congregation of Roman Catholicism. Still, Revelation 18:4 is clear. And even, like it says in the Old Testament, where, because original sin is a lie. And even the SDAs are preaching that now, by the way, original sin thing of the Catholic Church, where they say you're guilty of the sin of Adam and Eve. But no, that's not the case. It clearly says in the Bible that, the sins of the father are on him and the sins of the child are on him alone. You're not guilty for the sins of your parents. And so the Catholics of today need to get past that original sin thing and then notice that they too can be saved and walk out of that church like my wife and I did many, 34 years ago this month. And so they can come out because, and there are real Christians in the Catholic Church, otherwise the Lord wouldn't have written what he did in Revelation 18:4 about calling them my people. Just like there's real Christians in the SDA Church, real Christians in the Baptists and the Presbyterians and all the others, right? So not only does this mean, when it comes to like not hearing their prayers because their hands are full of blood, not only does this mean that the prayers of those that are part of a church that has literally killed God's people for their faith during the Inquisitions, as well as how they're doing it today, using the Muslims as their pawns in the same way Rome used Hitler. See, those people out there that's saying that the King of the North is now the Muslims don't seem to realize the prophetic utterance behind all this and how Daniel said otherwise and how it was confirmed otherwise. We all know the Muslims are controlled by the Vatican. That's why they pulled those videos. And as a matter of fact, I made a new page on my website called, just go to remnantofgod.org/band.htm. I've got four videos, well, actually six, but one's a three-parter, but I only put it up as all three at one. I got four videos on there now that have been removed by the YouTube because of the truth that's in them. And I've got others I'm going to put up, too, that are only banned in certain countries, but I got to find them. And going through over 400 videos is going to be a little bit time-consuming to figure out which ones those are. But my point is, if Rome's going to use Hitler the way they did, the same way Satan uses Rome, what makes them think Rome's not going to use the Muslims, especially since they're the ones that wrote their Quran anyway? And yes, we got proof of that, and we've even had Muslims declaring that there's evidence of Roman Catholicism on camera. It's on my Pope and Islam page on the website. And so, Muslims are pawns in the same way Hitler was used. And so, those that are not Catholic, that hate us for our faith, are also killers in the eyes of the Lord, because to stay in an apostate church, and worse yet, as we saw on February 4th last month, wherein all the churches, including the Seventh-day Adventist Church, officially became one with the Pope's One World Church, and the SDA Church actually sends your tithes, if you're SDA, by the way, your tithe money goes to the Pope, and I got a video about that too, and actual letters from the Council of Churches as well as the SDA Church admitting it. And so all of the people in such churches are now in a contractual agreement with those that have killed God's people. Anybody that's part of the One World Church, and that's all of them, except, of course, the remnant people. And that's, you know, the real remnant of the church. That's us and anybody else that believes like us. You don't literally have to be SDR to be part of that remnant. And so, and therefore, they're all guilty of the blood of the saints by proxy for as long as they refuse to separate from them and obey the Lord. I mean, those individuals, and I said I was going to go over, so I'm going to go over, you know, maybe two more minutes. But those individuals in the fallen churches who hate us when we share scripture, proving their creeds are evil and their leaders apostate, their prayers are also ignored, for they too are guilty of murder. For Jesus said, to hate your brother is to murder him in the heart. I mean, isn't that written in 1 John 3:15? That whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. And so when you pray, forgive those that have sinned against you, brothers and sisters. Do good to those that persecute you. And have mercy on those that despitefully use you. Because when you pray, you are coming to the throne where your precious Lord resides. And he will hear you as clear as day. And you also know he will not listen to any prayer when it comes from the heart of someone that hates. Any kind of hatred whatsoever. I mean, you can hate Satan, that's okay. But you can't hate mankind, because you really don't know where the reprobate heart is. Your father does, but you don't. So maybe you're being tested. And also keep in mind, and I got to make the point, too, that even though they're Catholic and their prayers are not heard by the Lord, there is one prayer that will be heard by the Lord from a Catholic or an SDA or anybody else that's in apostasy. It's when they step out of the apostasy and ask Jesus Christ to be their Lord and Savior. That prayer is always heard, regardless. As a matter of fact, we have three atheists that have joined the Seventh-day Remnant Church because they prayed that prayer. I mean, we don't tell them to recite it like a Baptist does, no. They prayed it on their own and then contacted us later. But again, keep in mind that every unselfish prayer, at every prayer wherein we declare it to be prayed in his name, each prayer must be prayed to the best of our ability as obedient Christians, and at the same time understood deep within that whatever the prayer request is, as Jesus stated in the garden that night, We must always surrender to the fact that the prayer will be answered however the Father in heaven decides. If it is good for him to answer yes, then it's going to be answered yes. And if it's good for him to answer no, then it's going to be answered no. And regardless if he answers yes or no, we need to have patience in how he sends the answer. All too often, we want our prayers answered at the time in our lives when simply we're not spiritually ready to experience the answer. Remember Zacharias and Elizabeth? They wanted a kid. They wanted a child. They weren't ready to have a baby because the Lord had already made plans that, yeah, you're going to have a baby in your old age, but that baby's going to be a prophet. And so I need you to have as much scripture in your heart by the time that child's born so you can raise him up the way he needs to be raised up. So their answer to their prayer was yes, but they had to wait decades. And also remember this. As you pray, and I'll close with this, your Father knows the motive that prompted your prayer in the first place, for according to Hebrews 4:12, he is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And so don't get anxious or worried in any way, shape, or form when you pray. Totally surrender to his perfect will for you. Whatever he has for you or doesn't have for you, whatever you pray for, whatever his will is on that is all we have to be concerned with. Because we ask amiss, we mess up, we don't realize that sometimes we're not praying the way we should. And he doesn't hold that against us. He winks at our times of ignorance even there too, you know. And so yes, brothers and sisters, this includes when very intense situations come upon you and he seems to be answering the prayer a bit too slow for your taste. His peace must reign even here as you pray. For a fearful heart is one that will unveil a lack of faith. That's what Satan's going for. Even if you must die a martyr's death, we must not shy away from that as the poor soul in Korea did a few weeks ago. Remember that girl? Wherein she said she loves Jesus. I did a video about that. She said she loves Jesus, but chose to deny him so they wouldn't kill her. You know, and the media makes it look like that's perfectly okay. Deny him. Why? Because the mark of the beast is about to be enforced. They put a guillotine in front of you. Oh, I'm going to deny Jesus right now, but I learned from these other preachers and whatnot saying that I can deny him, walk away, and then repent. No, when that mark of the beast is enforced, that's the final question. That's the final test. And so if she continues to believe that way when the mark of the beast is enforced, she will most assuredly receive the mark so as to prevent being killed on that guillotine. So keep her in prayer too, because she can still repent because she didn't sell her soul to Satan. A lot of people might think, oh, she messed up, that's it, she's going to hell in a handbasket. No, the mark hasn't been enforced yet. She can still repent. The Pope can still repent. And so keep praying for them. And so I hope and pray you were blessed by what was shared this Sabbath day. I'll be back in a minute.